Welcome to another episode of the Neon Movie Bunker. I'm John Robinson.
And I'm LRA Stanek.
And we're here to talk about movies.
And Venom 2.
Yes.
Symbiote Boogaloo.
Yes. Following up on a story we had a couple of weeks ago, Venom 2 now has a director hired.
I think the most interesting choice, too.
Yes. Andy Serkis.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, good for him.
And good for Sony for landing him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's...
Did you watch Mowgli?
Yeah.
And?
It was very technically well made.
Okay.
Very dry. Hmm. But it was kind of a... How to put... Respectful of the source material dry. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Where it was very much trying to duplicate the tone of the original text without going full, without doubling down on some of the more problematic issues there.
Ah.
So it's not a bad movie.
Okay.
It's not the all-encompassing four-quadrant entertainment that The Jungle Book is.
Okay.
It's a different type of animal.
All right.
So it'll be interesting to see what he does with Venom.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what he does with Woody Harrelson.
Yes.
Because the two have worked together before. It'll be interesting to see how they work as director-star versus co-stars. Planet of the Apes.
Ah, yes. Yes, yes.
You know, I the more I think about it, actually, the more intrigued I am specifically about what Harrelson's performance is going to be like. Because Harrelson's... The dude's got chops.
Oh, yeah. He's quite good.
Yeah. And he's played a similar character before.
Mm-hmm.
A couple times. It'll be interesting to see...
Mickey Knox, most notably.
Yeah. That's the first one that pops to mind. It'll be interesting to see how theatrical he gets with it.
Yeah. Yeah. But wait.
There's more.
There's more.
And for that more, we're going to go to our email address.
mail@neonmoviebunker.com.
Where Charles writes, "The blowback for Blumhouse's The Hunt is definitely a thing right now.
Yes.
They want it canned. What are your thoughts?" Holds up invisible microphone to one of the hosts of the Neon Movie Bunker. People that have never fathomed movies before, beyond the theaters, are deeming it in poor taste currently. It's pretty wild because I took a peek into the Twitter abyss and there's a ton of different takes. Is there a right way to handle stuff like this?
There's no 100% solid path.
No.
There's no playbook. I think Universal is probably doing the right thing to punt it for mm-hmm. 6 months or a year.
Mm-hmm.
That said, who's to say in 6 months or a year we're not going to have...
I read one opinion piece on Variety about it
mm-hmm.
where they said this was a good idea because in the past you never would have had Mitch McConnell, you know, making a vague motion towards background checks.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have that.
Mm-hmm.
And something like this could muddy the waters and put things in the, you know, upset the conversation in the wrong way. I, having not seen the film.
Who has?
I don't know whether or not it would be end up playing as a straight horror film, a bit of
satire,
a vengeance, revenge, thriller type thing. I don't know what exactly it is.
Yeah.
What they're setting out to sell it as is a horror piece.
Yeah.
Which, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Makes sense. I don't know if it actually is that.
Yeah.
I do know, being a Blumhouse production, it was probably made for about as much as the catering budget on Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah.
So it can sit on shelf for a while, and Universal isn't out all that much.
No.
And I'm also fairly confident that Universal will eventually release this.
Yeah.
So, you know, stopping the publicity spend on it now is a good choice.
Yeah.
Indefinitely not postponing it, but just kind of
shelving it.
Not a bad choice either. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have more faith in this getting a theatrical release eventually than New Mutants. New Mutants is going to be on streaming. It's going to get out there somehow, but it's not going to be in theaters.
I continue to maintain that it will hit theaters. Because Disney's putting their own money into it now.
Are they?
Yeah.
Wow. Why? But, yeah, they're really, like you said, John, there's no 100% right way to do this. Mm-hmm. And to deal with this sort of thing. I mean, and it's not as if this is the first time pop culture has had to react to,
yes,
you know, these sorts of things. I remember going back to the Spider-Man trailer, the teaser,
which has recently resurfaced.
Mm-hmm. Or some of the concerns over The Matrix back in 99.
Yeah.
You know, there was talk for a while of an edited down version being what would be released on home video.
Mm.
But
turned out not to happen that way.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, it's not even like this is the only movie in the past couple of years that's been shelved.
No.
Not long before its scheduled release.
Mm-hmm. This is a pretty...
I'm thinking of Louis C.K.'s I Love You, Daddy.
Yeah. 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 Man, talk about a problematic release.
Mm-hmm.
Yeesh. On the topic of, you mentioned Disney spending their own money on New Mutants.
Yeah.
One thing that they're not doing, though, mm-hmm. is following up Assassin's Creed with a sequel.
True.
Or making Mega Man. Or... the article I read, somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 other Fox productions have been
reevaluated,
killed
into the circular file.
Into the circular file they go. Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch. In the article I read, again, I think this was in Variety. I can double check that later. But in the article I read, they were talking about how Fox was hemorrhaging money worse than anybody had really heard.
Yeah.
And Disney has perhaps bought something of a lemon.
Yeah, throw the brakes on it.
And quite honestly, script stage productions or...
Yeah, scripts are cheap.
Yeah. Incredibly.
Yeah.
So that's not really a big deal.
Right.
It's not like they've got a whole bunch of productions that they're just kind of, we don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
They only have one.
You're going to say the words New Mutants again.
I am.
Remember, I still say it'll be released in theaters by the end of 2020.
Okay.
We have our wager.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I forget what exactly the terms of the wager were.
One Oberweis milkshake.
That's right. So, dear listeners.
Yes.
What has caught your attention in the pop culture landscape lately? Let us know.
mail@neonmoviebunker.com.
Of course, that's not your only way to get in touch with us. You can also contact us.
facebook.com/neonmoviebunker.
Or via?
twitter.com/neonmoviebunker or @neonmoviebunker or @johnnmb.
Or @LRANeonmb.
Places.
Things. Stuff. One of those places and things and stuff you can go to?
www.neonmoviebunker.com.
That's right. We can find every single episode of the show along with all sorts of movie trailers and other fun events. And speaking of episodes of the show, you know how you can make sure you get every single one?
Subscribe.
That's right.
Subscribe in Apple Podcasts. Subscribe in Google Podcasts. Subscribe in Stitcher or Spotify. Subscribe to the show. So, yeah, do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for you.
It is.
And it's good for us, which is much more important to me.
Overall, It's a good thing, and it doesn't cost you anything.
Not a dime.
In fact, it gives you hours and hours of entertainment and yes. information.
Yes.
Infotainment, if you will. And
I
me,
won't.
I will. John won't. I will, though. But you know what you will do? Tell us about a movie, John.
Oh. Oh.
Please?
That.
Huh? Huh?
Yes, I can do that. For I have seen The Kitchen.
Ooh. Do you like what I did with it? The whole theming of The Kitchen?
Beep, boop, boop,
yeah.
Beep, boop,
yeah,
beep,
yeah.
Boop, beep, the... squeak.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Written and directed by Andrea Berloff, based on the comic series by Ollie Masters and Ming Doyle. The Kitchen stars Melissa McCarthy, Tiffany Haddish, Elizabeth Moss, Donald Gleason, James Badge Dale, Brian Darcy James, Margot Martindale, Bill Camp, and Common, among others.
Nice.
It's 1978 in Hell's Kitchen in New York. And three members of the Irish mob go out for a robbery.
Okay.
And, well, get stopped by a couple of members of the FBI. They attempt to beat down the members of the FBI and take off. But the backup arrives, and so the three of them are looking at 36 months behind bars.
Ouch. I mean, you know, organized crime, that happened to you.
Yeah.
But
if anything, 36 months sounds like a light sentence for beating up on a Fed. But
yeah.
But anyway. This leaves their wives, Kathy, Ruby, and Claire, behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
Because, well, they don't work. Kathy's got two kids to take care of. Claire volunteers at her church, but that's about it. And Ruby doesn't work either.
Okay.
But the head of the family, the head of the organization, says, "We'll take care of you. Don't worry about it." Well, they get an envelope under the door, and it's on the light side.
The light side?
There's not enough in to make rent.
Oh, yeah, that's no good.
Yeah. So the three of them go to the head of the mob and say, "Can you help us out some more?" And he brushes them off and says, basically,
"No.
You're going to get what I give you out of the kindness of my heart."
Mm.
They also hear during this meeting that some of the collections are coming back a little light.
Interesting.
So they formulate a plan.
What could go wrong?
Well, it's not what goes wrong that gets interesting. It's what goes right.
Really?
Yes. They reach out to the light collections and find out what's going on and basically put a customer service spin on mob protection rackets.
Okay.
You know, one grocer says, "I've been paying protection for years, and when I actually need you, where are you?" So Kathy, Ruby, and Claire start taking care of collections, and in turn, taking care of the
follow through on the on services offered.
Yes,
gotcha.
They start making money. They start making a significant amount of money.
Hmm.
This catches the attention of the head of the mob.
As it would.
And he does not take kindly to this. Unfortunately, he soon turns up a little too dead to worry about it.
Oh.
And things build.
Fell down an elevator shaft onto some bullets, did he?
You think it was? You think the suicide was a surprise to you? Imagine what it was a surprise to him.
Yeah.
And things build and build, and eventually some Italian gentlemen become involved. Italian gentlemen from Brooklyn.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
And then their husbands get out of jail, and, well...
The plot thickens?
Yes. This movie is perfectly okay.
Okay, then. It sounds like it has a lot to deal with.
It does.
A lot of plate spinning.
There's a lot of plot. There's a lot of... Each of the three women has their own, you know, through line.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby, played by Tiffany Haddish, has to work twice as hard to be accepted by the Irish mob.
Yeah.
As one might suspect. Claire, played by Elizabeth Moss, was abused by her husband.
Mm.
And abused by basically everyone in her life until she meets the right guy who, the line it's been used in the trailers is, I don't want you to do it. I want you to teach me how to do it.
Gotcha.
Kathy is just kind of treating it like business.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting some blowback from her father, but who works in the laborers union, which is controlled by the...
Yeah.
But she starts getting them work.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, things go well for a while, right up until the point that they don't. There are... Things go... I would say things go almost too well for them. It's too easy.
Gotcha.
That this arrangement takes hold.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little too convenient. It happens on the movie schedule. It doesn't happen on a... It doesn't feel quite organic.
Okay.
But when things get big and difficult, that works.
Hmm.
The performances are pretty good. Moss, Haddish, and McCarthy are very good.
Okay.
But I wonder if another draft of the script wouldn't have been a bad idea.
How so?
There's a good story here.
Mm-hmm.
It's told pretty well.
It could have been more.
It could have been more polished. I saw one person suggest that maybe it belonged, since it was, I think, a 12-issue comic series, maybe it wouldn't have worked better on HBO as 12 episodes.
I could see that.
Yeah, I could see that too. But it's not bad. It's perfectly okay.
Nothing...
Don't rush out and see it.
But nothing. But no apprehension at saying, oh, I'm planning on seeing The Kitchen. What do you think? Oh, okay, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell anybody to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fine.
C+ work?
B-.
B-. Okay.
B-, and that gets a little extra credit for the way they managed to digitally de-age New York. And make it look...
Like 1970s New York?
Make it look 78 slimy, yeah.
Seeing that on the big screen again would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned something before we started recording about...
Yeah, my screening was... it started late.
Okay.
Which was odd.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whatever. These things happen. There's a critical scene at the end, a confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the last or second to last scene in the movie.
Okay.
And it's set up. There's the confrontation. And then the lights go up. And it switches to the lobby audio of... That was...
So you get the pre-show entertainment all of a sudden.
Yes.
Weird.
The screen keeps going. The picture keeps going.
Huh.
But there's no sound. So you can't tell what's happening in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody went out to complain. They got it fixed-ish. So, like, if the interruption happened with 3 minutes left, there's 2 minutes of interruption, and we got the last minute.
Hmm.
And then the credits. But even the credits stopped halfway through.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
So I don't know what happened. They gave everybody in the audience a
voucher.
A voucher for another showing of something. But, I mean, I was able to context clues my way through what happened in that confrontation, plus the last minute that we did get. But
is there anything that could have been within that couple of minutes that would have pushed it into the realm of being...
No.
Okay. Is there anything that could have been within that couple of minutes that would have pushed the other way?
No.
So...
No, because it's a showdown.
Okay.
It's two characters...
Eye-to-eye.
Eye-to-eye. Kind of Mexican standoff-y.
Gotcha.
But it's all resolved through dialogue.
Okay.
And when you don't have the soundtrack, you're forced to make up your own dialogue. So.
Well, and I guess that's... Could it have been that brilliant?
No.
No?
No.
All right. Fair enough.
It would have been a spectacular step up for it to have...
Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
So, yeah, The Kitchen in theaters now. Don't rush out to see it. Maybe, you know, it'll be on HBO in 6 months. Maybe then.
Okay.
You can do worse.
Gotcha.
But you can also do better.
Well, coming out on Blu-ray this week for the first time is The Reflecting Skin, written and directed by Philip Ridley. Starring Viggo Mortensen, Jeremy Cooper, Sheila Moore, and Lindsay Duncan. It's set in 1950s rural America. And we... Beautiful farmland shots. As wheat as far as the eye can see. All golden hues. And Seth and his friends, they're all about 8 years old, I'd say. They find a frog. Big old toad.
Mm-hmm.
And they get a reed and they inflate this toad.
Uh-oh.
And then they set it on the road, on the path to town, and they lie in wait with their slingshot. And then they explode the toad upon a local widow. A young widow.
Charmers.
Yeah. This, of course, splatters her with blood, and Toad kind of explodes like a fly in blood water balloon.
Hmm.
From there, of course, the four friends run off. And Seth's friend, one friend, disappears mysteriously. The sheriff of town, of course, investigates this and comes to Seth's home specifically to talk to his father because he suspects that his father may be involved based on a past incident. This greatly upsets both of Seth's parents, leading the father to remove himself from home and the town and existence in general.
Oh.
Seth's mother attempts to cope with the grief of loss of her husband and raising her son, but she had a tenuous grip on reality at best to begin with. And it's not until Seth's older brother returns from the army that some semblance of normalcy returns. That is until more of Seth's friends start disappearing, and Seth suspects that the young widow that he and his friends blew up the toad on is a vampire.
Okay.
Things get complicated when his older brother starts to date said vampire.
So she is a vampire. It's not just a suspicion. Or you could have said, begins to date said widow. I'm just saying.
Okay, she tells him. She tells Seth that she is a vampire.
Okay.
I don't think she was telling the truth.
Hmm.
I think that this is a 1950s 8-year-old rural boy's understanding that when an adult speaks to them, they're telling the truth, why would they lie about such things?
Okay.
And so conflict arises between the brothers, and like I said, things get weird. In fact, a specific type of weird, very Lynchian.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Mm-hmm. The Lynchian aspects of it are more in the execution of the story structure than in the performances. The performances are very naturalistic. There's nothing like the backwards talking or the overly affectionate treatment of logs that would go into full David Lynch territory. Instead, it's this very banal handling of out there ideas and just dropping them into an otherwise very naturalistic, very realistic setting and storytelling that kind of throws off the viewer's expectations. Mortensen is really good with this. He's able to keep one foot in reality and one foot in, okay, yeah, this could be something else, territory, and shift back and forth between the two. When you consider this is shortly before he... No, I'm sorry, this is shortly after he appeared in Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. You see that this guy had chops from the start.
Yeah.
You know, he was really a strong actor from the beginning. Jeremy Cooper as young Seth Dove is good. He's likable enough, even though he's something of a miscreant at times. And he carries the story. Everything is told from his perspective, and he is in virtually every shot of the film. And he does a fine job with that. This is most definitely a cult film. And if you have an interest in surreal storytelling techniques, this is something that you may want to check out.
Okay.
However, overall, it has, you know, comparing it to David Lynch, which is the most direct cinematic comparison I could come up with, it's sort of like, imagine a really great cover band.
Yeah.
Okay. And this really great cover band also has an original song that they wrote and performed in the style of the group that they cover.
Yeah.
Okay. There is no way on earth that you will ever be able to watch it and not compare it to that other stuff, even though there is no direct comparison. And there is no way on earth that it'll ever live up to the legacy of that other material. By the time this movie came out in 1990, Lynch had already done so much and had become a really established brand that this kind of comes off like, remember how in 1995 there were a whole bunch of gangster movies with hip dialogue and pop culture references? It kind of comes off a bit like that. Somebody really wanted to make their own take on that style of movie, and Philip Ridley did a fine job with it. It's just not quite as strong as the material that inspired him.
All right.
The Blu-ray looks great.
All right.
As well it should. New master for it, new transfer, and it includes an audio commentary with Ridley, as well as a new essay and a making of featurette. I'd say this is worth a rental. Like again,
especially if you're into Lynch already,
right? If you are not, like you,
yeah.
This is not something that'll change your mind. However, it's not so out there that you'll throw your arms up in disgust and just storm out of the room. It's more of, okay, I guess, sort of thing. So you have to be a fan. you have to be a fan of this type of storytelling to begin with to want to enter into the reflecting skin. If you aren't, this is
not going to be the one to convert you.
Right. This is neither strong enough nor weird enough to really stand on its own.
All right. So, listeners, did you see The Kitchen or did you see The Reflecting Skin? Please let us know what you thought. Mail@neonmoviebunker.com.
In the meantime.
DVDs and Blu-rays. DVDs and Blu-rays. DVDs and Blu-rays.
That's right.
Yay. This week.
Uh-huh.
Sees the DVD, Blu-ray, 4K.
Yep.
Release of Avengers Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really need to sell this one.
No.
Too
it's,
hard.
It's, yeah, it's. It's going to fly off shelves.
Yeah.
Also coming out this week on DVD, I cannot say that I have seen this yet. Oh, but I will see this movie. I will see this movie. Velocipaster.
Okay.
The tagline?
Yes.
He is a man of the claw.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I have to see this.
All right.
I may have to force other people to see it with me. You may be one of those people, John.
Welcome to try. anything for us to avoid this week?
Actually, yes. Going to dip back into 90s nostalgia again. You remember how in the late 90s there was an attempt to revive a whole bunch of different franchises from like the 50s and 60s on TV? Like the Brady Bunch and the...
Yeah.
Well, Leave It to Beaver was one of them.
Yeah.
And Leave It to Beaver Season 1 from 1997 is available on DVD this week.
Yes.
Do
not.
Yeah. Give it a wide berth. Rent Velocipaster instead. Even if you don't watch it, rent it instead. It's just a better choice.
Also, I have also have something to avoid this week.
Yeah?
On home video.
What's that?
Unplanned.
Hmm. Tell me more.
It's... Let me make sure I'm getting the details right. Came out earlier this year. It's a hit piece on Planned Parenthood.
Oh, goody.
Yes.
I'm sure that's fair and balanced.
If yeah, sure. Yeah, it's disingenuous and not... based in anything resembling reality.
All right.
So, give Unplanned a skip.
Okie dokie.
Hey, Ellery.
Hey, John.
Let's go to the movies.
Okie dokie. What are we going to go see?
First and most of things to see right now continues to be Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
That's a real good movie. Next and most of things to see right now is The Farewell.
Okay.
Very different from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
But, I would imagine.
But a fine family-based character piece, mostly in Chinese.
It'd be really fun to see Awkwafina work for Tarantino.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be an interesting blend of performance style and...
Yeah, material.
Yeah.
And last on the list of things to see right now.
The Kitchen?
I don't want to encourage it that much.
Okay. Well, definitely not The Lion King, because you weren't a fan of that. Toy Story 4 is still in some theaters.
Toy Story 4 it is.
Okay. If you're going to stay home and pop something on your home video player of choice... First thing I'm going to recommend to you is Climax.
Of course.
Because I'm me. Climax is it. It's, again, a really grueling cinematic experience. And I enjoyed every misanthropic moment of it.
Hmm.
But if that's not your that's not your bailiwick, if that's not your cup of tea, I can understand that. And it's hard to think of anybody who would be completely and totally unentertained by the double feature of Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame, which, you know, you can do now.
Yes. Yes, you can. Want to take the opportunity to mention our email address one more time? mail@neonmoviebunker.com. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/neonmoviebunker. We are on Twitter @neonmoviebunker. I'm @JohnNMB.
I am @LRayNeonMB.
So, you know, interact. Why don't you?
Yeah.
Visit our website at www.neonmoviebunker.com for stuff and things. And please subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify. They're all nice.
They are.
And so we come to the end of another episode of Neon Movie Bunker. This week's episode is produced by LRA Static. The executive producer is Kate Walpole. The junior executive producer is Maggie Static. The theme song is by
Dr. Awkward and the Monkey Man Trio.
So until next time, I'm John Robinson.
And I'm LRA Static.
And we'll probably see you at the movies.